of Ezekiel. That's the book that comes before Daniel in chapter 32. You might wonder, as we read these verses, what they have to do with the gospel message, for it's the gospel we're here to proclaim today. But let's just read them. Ezekiel 14 and verse 12. Did I say 32 previously? Sorry about that. 14 and verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the hand sinneth against me by the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land, and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, and the famine, and the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. May God add a blessing to the reading of his own precious word. We've just read about God's judgment on his people Israel, his intended judgment. You know, over and over again, God had spoken to his chosen people, and he had indicated to them the way that he wanted them to go and live. And over again, they rebelled against him. And God warned them that if they didn't keep to his commands, then the only thing that they could look forward to was his judgment. A God who cared for his own people, who brought Abram out of the land of Ur and all the way to the promised land. And there they had grown into a great nation. They'd gone down to Egypt. God had delivered them out of the hands of the king that oppressed them, using his servant Moses. And then at Mount Sinai, he gave them the commandments. And God always promised to be their God, and to lead them, and to guide them, and to direct them. But they hadn't to have other gods before him. And they had to obey his precepts, and go the way that he desired them to go. But over and over and over again, the children of Israel rebelled against God, and instead of obeying, God had to bring judgment. And here in Ezekiel's time, God is warning them again that there is only judgment coming. You know, God was a God who cared. And people could always respond to him, confess their sin, and come back to him. And God would welcome them. But if they persisted, then they had to look forward to the judgment of God. And so God's saying, look at the state you're in now, in Ezekiel's day. There's only a looking forward to of judgment. And he lists four different types of judgment. And he says, that judgment won't be diverted by anything. And then he says a very wonderful thing. He says, even if three righteous men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were there in your midst, that wouldn't prevent my judgment. God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah was not halted by the presence of righteous Lot. Remember, he was taken out of it. God sent his messengers, and Lot and his daughters were saved. But his judgment came on Sodom and Gomorrah because they were due it. The prophecy of Ezekiel was to show God's people their transgressions. God had raised up Ezekiel the prophet in order to speak to them and try and get over to them once again that he who was a caring and loving God had to judge those who persisted in going their own way and not his. So Ezekiel prophesied about Judah and Jerusalem. He prophesied about the nations, because be very clear about this. God isn't just concerned with his chosen people, the Jews. God's concerned with the whole world. And so, if you read through Ezekiel, you'll find that the prophecy is about the nations as well as Judah and Israel. But it also prophesies about Israel's restoration. That, of course, depended on their attitude to God. And it talks and prophesies about the temple, because it had been destroyed, but one day would be rebuilt. And all of this book was written in Babylon to the Jews who were fellow captives, like Ezekiel, who had been taken from Judah by King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 12 says, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord, and when the Lord speaks, we must remember that it is him who is saying what he says. Not any man, not any woman, but God himself. The word of the Lord came. It is the Lord who speaks. And it's interesting, it's the Lord who includes Noah, Daniel, and Job in what he is to say at this time. Thus confirming that all three were historical persons, not fictional characters. And they were all righteous in God's eyes. It's possible for God to look upon sinful man and to see him as righteous. That, of course, is the story of the gospel. How God can make a sinner fit for his presence. They'd all lived at vastly different times in history. And that's one of the interesting things about taking these three names and putting them together. Noah, the son of Lamech, was born around 2900 BC, almost 5,000 years ago. And his life is associated with the greatest destruction of the earth by deluge that ever took place. Job is thought to have lived before Abraham, perhaps around 2000 BC. And his story is an example of God's dealings with an individual who had placed his faith and trust in God. And Daniel was actually living at the court of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon when Ezekiel wrote his prophecy around 580 BC, and Daniel's experience was linked to the exiled nation of Israel. So these three represent God's dealings with the world. Noah and that great deluge that destroyed the world. And with an individual, that man Job. And with a nation, through Daniel. In Genesis chapter 6, we read that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the same chapter, in verse 9, it says, Noah walked with God. And in verse 13, it says, God said unto Noah. Here was a man who, as far as God was concerned, he found grace in his sight. A man who walked with God. A man who God talked with. And verse 22 of chapter 6 says, thus did Noah. He did what God wanted. Unlike the children of Israel who didn't do what God wanted. He did. If the children of Israel had done what God wanted, they would never have been in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar would never have defeated them and taken them captive. They were there because of their own attitude towards God. But not Noah. He did what God wanted. And when you go into chapter 7, it says, the Lord said unto Noah. God is still in converse with him. And into chapter 8, God remembered Noah. God doesn't forget. And in chapter 9, God blessed Noah. What a wonderful experience was that of Noah, who walked with God and obeyed him. Sustained with his wife and his sons and daughters-in-law for over a year in the ark that Noah built at God's command. 1 Peter 3 and 20 talks of the long-suffering of God in the days of Noah during the duration of the building of the ark, yet few souls were saved. 8 precisely. A God who cared and who made a way of escape, and only 8, along with the animals, were saved. 2 Peter 2 and 5 says, it reminds us that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness. And in Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus tells those listening to him that as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The few who enter the narrow gate, the way to life, will be ready as Noah was. The majority that enter the wide gate leading to destruction will be taken unawares at the coming of Christ, just as a majority of people in the world were taken unawares when the deluge came. The narrow gate, the broad gate Jesus talked about. Where have you entered? The book of Job could be the most ancient book in existence if written by Job himself, because the first 5 books of the Bible were written by Moses, who probably lived after him. It tells of Job's prosperity and then his afflictions, his patience in trials and his restoration. It tells of his faith fixed on his coming Redeemer. Satan was given leave to try Job. Given leave by God to try him. Many catastrophes overtook him in one day. And then later his health was attacked. But the Lord watched over his servant Job. And he didn't curse God as Satan said he would. And as his own wife told him to do. Under the dreadful circumstances that he had to suffer, he remained true to God. In the last chapter of the book of Job, chapter 42, the Lord refers to Job 4 times as my servant Job. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, the book ends with. A man who went through dreadful experiences at the hand of Satan himself, but he was true to God. my servant Job. And here in Ezekiel, the Lord refers to Job's righteousness. It's interesting how God refers to Noah, David, and Job as all being in the present. Many people today believe that death ends all. It doesn't. Do you remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mount when he was on earth? And Moses and Elijah were seen talking with Jesus. No, death doesn't end all. And so God is able to say, if we brought these three men together, Daniel, he's already living amongst you. But if we brought in Noah, if we brought in Job, even if they were there in all their righteousness, that wouldn't save you. Because salvation's an individual thing. It's not depending on someone else. It depends on you personally. But God made it clear that these three men would be saved under any judgment that he brought. But even his family wouldn't. His sons and his daughter. Having a Christian father or mother won't save you. It's a personal, very personal thing. Faith in God, faith in Christ. Just in the passing, it's interesting to note that the book of Job, ancient as it is, reveals an advanced knowledge of science. Chapter 36, we read about evaporation and precipitation. In chapter 37, wind and weather directions. In chapter 33, the composition of the human body. Chapter 26, the suspension of the earth. In chapter 38, ocean bottom phenomena. Chapter 37, cloud-lightning relationships. And in chapter 38, the orbit of heavenly bodies and their influence on the earth. You see, the Bible isn't the source of the flat earth theory that present day scientists take delight in picking on to rubbish the belief of men in the past. And neither does the Bible corroborate the ridiculous theories of so-called men of learning in our generation that lead them to discard God and Scripture. And so we come to Daniel. We've talked about Noah, we've talked about Job. What about Daniel? He lived a very long and active life in the courts and councils of some of the greatest monarchs the world has ever seen. He was intimately acquainted with the mind of God. He was a great statesman. He lived in exile all his days since being taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar as a young boy. He witnessed fearlessly before many kings, including Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius the Mede, and Cyrus. And before them all, he witnessed to his faith in the only and living and true God. From his early days, when he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine he drank, he put God first in his life and experienced the wonderful sustaining and protecting hand of God throughout his long life. God used him not only to bring God to the attention of kings, but to prophesy concerning the future. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains," and so on. The Lord Jesus referred to this man Daniel's prophecy given to him by God, and a prophecy that one day is definitely going to take place. Because when God speaks, just as he did in Noah's time, the deluge came. And just as he did in the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah were devastated. As far as Israel and Judah were concerned, God in Ezekiel's time advises them by Ezekiel that he's going to send four sore judgments: the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were present at this time, this would not halt it. But Noah, Daniel and Job would be saved by their righteousness. Judah's guilt was too great to be pardoned. A long-suffering God was always willing to pardon should they confess their iniquity and obey his commands. What about our society with its crime, its violence, its abortions, its immorality, its idolatry, its drugs and its secular humanism? A nation that rejects the God who created it and his Son who died for it can only look forward to God's judgment, which will certainly come as prophesied by Daniel and others through whom God has spoken in times past. But for the individual, there is always hope of salvation. For anyone can have God's righteousness imputed to him, as Noah, Daniel, and Job had, and countless others, through confession of their sins and faith in God and Christ. Listen to these words and recognize that they're the words of God himself. Hebrews 9 and 27. And this is in New Testament times he's speaking, and he's saying, "And as it is appointed unto man or unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And that's where the gospel comes in. The Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross, as he suffered there for you and me, it was in order that we would escape the judgment. Noah escaped it. Lot escaped it. Job was saved out of his situation. And Daniel was blessed in his day, even as an exile. But what about you? Are you looking forward to a time of God's judgment upon your life? Or are you depending on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you on the cross? As God said through Ezekiel that his judgment would come, it would come unless the people repented and come back to their God. And as God says, as far as everyone's concerned, after death, the judgment, and he's in control. But you can avoid that judgment. You can be safe like Noah. You can be like Daniel. You can be like Job. Be the friend of God. Know God in your life. Have righteousness imparted to you because of what Christ did for you on the cross. But you've got to respond like each of these three men. Place your faith and trust wholly and solely in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we bow humbly in thy presence, acknowledging that thou art God and thou alone. And thou art a holy God and a righteous God. And a God in whose presence sin cannot exist. We are sinners, our God. But we thank thee for the wonderful message of salvation through Christ Jesus and his death on the cross for us. Help each one of us to fully accept what Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross and bow before thee, confessing our sins and acknowledging our need of thee, and grant our God that we will be found living in the good of thy blessing and thy salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank thee for thy word to us today. Help us as we go from this place to do so in the knowledge that we are thine and thou art our God and Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ our Saviour, may it be that we go from this place trusting in Jesus fully for thy wonderful salvation. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask.